Hey, welcome to the Protectors, brother.
Yeah, no, thank you. Greatly appreciate it.
Alex, you're a Marine.
I am.
How long have you been a Marine?
13 years.
And now you're a Marine that helps out with Woody.
I do.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, so Woody's Foundation, the Herschel Woody Williams Medal of Honor Foundation, we honor, recognize, and serve Gold Star family members and the legacy of their loved ones that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. What we do is kind of have a little outlet of recognizing through monuments that we establish in communities, so that we have a sense of purpose for those individuals and Gold Star families in those communities to be able to come and honor and their loved ones who didn't make it home to them. We had do outreach events, as well as we do education and scholarships.
How did you get involved with this?
So I met Woody about 9 years ago when I came home from my deployment in Afghanistan. In fact, he came to my parents' house. The first time I met him was in my living room, the house that I was raised in. And it was a complete shock to me, and I didn't really know who Woody was. And when we got to talking and everything, because both my grandfathers had passed away, and when we were talking and everything, and he pulls out the Medal of Honor and puts it on, and like, of course, you know, I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa, I didn't know this, you know. And so... Long story short, just over the years, I've connected with Woody's grandsons, Brent Casey and Chad Graham, and helped out as much as I can with them and Woody and the foundation, knowing what he was doing. And I just developed this passion and love for the nonprofit industry and community relations and just helping people. And so I always joked with Brent and Chad, and I said, even Woody too, I always said, you know, if there's ever an opportunity for me to really assist in taking your foundation to the next level, I'd be more than honored. Well, one day I got a phone call and asked if I was interested in a position, and I said sure, and so I applied for it and went for it, and I gave it everything I got. And so, but Woody is like a grandfather to me. I love that man to death, and I love his vision and what he represents and how he carries out his mission. So I wanted to be a part of that.
I'm in absolute awe of all of you, you know, and the organization. And I just found out about it, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I'm like, you know what, we need to talk to you. But let's backtrack a little bit more to you.
All right.
There's a reason that Woody came to your house. Why don't you talk about that?
So, one, being a Marine, and Brent, one of Woody's grandsons, and my father had kind of served on some veteran service organization boards and kind of had a relationship and things. And so one thing or another, they kind of surprised me with it. But I think it was the fact that just having some motivation and a morale boost from, one, me coming home from my deployment in Afghanistan. Two, I was wounded on October 5th, 2010, and was still kind of having some struggles here and there, and kind of both physically and mentally. And so I think by Woody kind of stepping in at that moment in that time really kind of helped put things into perspective. And so I kind of wanted to take that morale boost, if you will, and run with it. So... it's been a game changer. It has changed my life, and I really do, appreciate everything that he's done for me, even, you know, just for being him.
Well, and you know, that's the thing about, you know, whether it's post-traumatic stress or whether it's getting injured or whether it's just getting out of the service and not having that mission. And now you're on another mission.
Yep.
And today, where are we at?
We are here at the 75th Iwo Jima Association reunion in Washington D.C. So we have a lot of war heroes among us today and their families, and we are in celebration of them and for them to be able to get together with their fellow Marines and Navy sailors here. And these guys kind of get choked up about it
a
little bit.
Yeah, you could get choked up all you want, man, because you're making me choked up over
here. No, I mean, these guys are living legends, and unfortunately, you know, we are at a time frame where there's not very many left, mm-hmm. and they are history. They are living history books. Last night, I was able to, for dinner time frame and everything, and I was able to sit with some of these guys at a table, and it was like just talking to them. I could talk for hours, and listening to them tell war stories, and then ask me about my service and like want to know about like everything that I did in Afghanistan. And I had one individual actually, one hard charger. He said, you know, I don't know how you guys did it over there with all those bombs and everything underneath. He was just like, I envy you. And I was like, seriously, like me? I was like, no, sir. I was like, you fought on Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would not be here today if it was not for you and your generation.
Yeah.
Like, I am you. You know, I'm carrying on the tradition of ensuring that America is protected. And I was like, you set the foundation.
You're probably like me. When you get around, it's like this sense of awe. I did one of Woody, and then, like, today when I was coming in waiting around, and I came down and I met you, and I see all the veterans, and I'm like, you just get this feeling, mm-hmm. like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy. And just, I mean, we've been here. This is the third day of the reunion. And on the 2 days ago, we were actually at the Iwo Jima Memorial there in Arlington and had all the Marines out there. And we had all of the Iwo Jima veterans and their families. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, was there. General Mark Milley was there. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Berger.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, Sergeant Major Black. Louisville, Kentucky guy, so I was very fortunate to be able to kind of snag a few minutes of his time and kind of just, you know, Kentucky, Louisville, and, you know, got to talk. So we actually had a really great conversation, really great guy. And so by having all of those Iwo Jima Marines there, I hope that the now younger generation of Marines, to include myself,
mm-hmm.
Could take that moment in and really kind of understand, you know, this number used to be a lot larger in presence, and it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And by having those senior leaders there to be able to kind of show their support, you know, as well.
And how important it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And how we, you know, we cannot forget about these guys. And so it was a great turnout. And very thankful for Washington, D.C. police for escorting all these guys and letting them, you know, get in and out so they're not sitting in Washington, D.C. traffic. but Woody, you know, Woody likes to make sure that, you know, everyone understands, you know, that he doesn't wear that medal for him.
Yeah.
And he is their brother, too.
Woody is like, he's on it 365 days a year, it seems.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to say is, like, you were young when you went to Marines, right?
I was 19.
Yeah. And then when you look around, you walk around here, and for some reason, I don't know if you do it too, but when you see the vets, you see them as a young person, like in Iwo Jima. You see it, and you're like, it's like an amazing, like, you're looking at someone whose body's aged, but they, you could just imagine them there.
Yeah.
It's like a weird feeling. And I would say if anybody has the opportunity to talk to any veteran from any conflict, and like someday our kids and their kids are going to talk to people like us that went to war.
Right.
And it's just, it's weird. Do it. You know, get out there and listen to these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to your stories.
Right. Even like last night when I was having dinner and, or, you know, kind of hanging out with some of these heroes, the way that they talk, it's still like their tradition carries on in the Marine Corps with like the language, the vocabulary, how they joke with each other.
Talking smack,
and talk. Yep, absolutely. And you got these guys, and it was just, I'm getting goosebumps just like talking about it. I mean, it was amazing experience, and it is something that I will cherish and never forget having this opportunity to be here this weekend with them.
Well, and I thank you and Brent and everybody for letting me be involved with this. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
Well, one thing we were talking about a little bit before is how we love tattoos.
Yes.
And tattoos. Let's see your tattoo. Yeah.
So I don't know if you can see it.
And if you're listening, it's the same. Will you explain it?
Okay. So it's St. Michael, who's the patron saint of protection. And he is... Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
And he is stomping on the devil's face into the side of a rock wall. And at the bottom, it has a date that says 10-5-10, October 5th, 2010. And we'll get to the date here in a second. And then it up here, it has the rays kind of surrounding it. And then it has a phrase, etiam in pugna, and which means still in the fight. Now, there's a couple other different terms or I guess meanings out there for that phrase, but I chose it for still in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I chose that is because on October 5th, 2010, I was involved in an IED explosion in Afghanistan and broke some bones and had a brain injury. And when I woke up in the hospital, I didn't have anything like... on me. I was completely, you know, naked. They cut everything mm-hmm. off and all that. Rightfully so. They hadn't even were checking me out and all that. But when I finally started to come to there in the hospital, I had a little bag sitting next to, like, my hospital bed and nothing else. There was nothing else in there. And so the only thing that was in there was my dog tag that had the St. Michael medal that was given mm-hmm. to me and blessed by a good family friend of ours prior to me leaving, because that's what I was wearing around my neck. And so they cut that off and they uh-huh. put it in a bag, but that was it. So, like, all of my, like, you know,
yeah.
pocket knives and everything that was all in my pockets and all that was gone. And so I felt that there's a reason I'm still here today. And by kind of seeing that sit in that bag right there, you know, there was a reason, you know, that, because at first I really didn't wear it. I don't like wearing stuff up here. Mm-hmm. I feel kind of like constricted. I usually just kind of hook it and put it in my yeah. pocket. But for some reason, that was one of the first missions that I went out on in Afghanistan when we had first gotten there, literally 2 weeks into country, roughly. And I don't know, for some reason I just put it on that day. And 36 hours later, we hit an IED. And that was the only thing that came back. So I felt that to have something a little bit more permanent for me to kind of, you know, remember or to show, you know.
Well, I think tattoos are also therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about, I got tattoos all over the place, and a lot of them are just different sectors of my life. Yeah. And that's the thing is I see a lot of veterans, and, you know, we could talk tattoos all day long because... You want something to symbolize your service, your life, and everything.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is once you get one, you get many.
Yeah.
And so I've had to kind of take a step back with still being in the service and the Marine Corps and ensuring that, you know, I stay within the regulations that consistently seem to keep changing, like, every... 4 years or whatever,
yeah.
but I finally, you know, just kind of gave in and, you know, and just stuck mm-hmm. with, well, you know, with where I'm at now that can't be
yeah.
covered or whatnot. But I do have another tattoo on my chest, but I do plan on getting more. But, you know, I got 13 years in the Marine Corps. I figured if it went by this quick that hopefully maybe another 7 would
go
by
faster.
It'll
go really quick. It goes quick, man.
And then I can make a decision at that point. But I do know that. And I can promise this, regardless of my age, when I do finally decide to get out of the Marine Corps or retire, I will finish out my arm. So
that's awesome, brother. Well, I really appreciate everything that you're doing,
yeah.
not just for Woody, but, you know, you found a new mission, and you're doing it for your family,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing it for your own mental health. And I just feel like you telling these stories helps. Maybe it'll help another veteran. Maybe it'll help someone else, especially when it comes to the Gold Star families. Maybe it'll help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is, like, so many people are hurting out there from losing loved ones or wounded soldiers and service members. It just, we need stuff. We need to tell their stories.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Well, and that's the thing is because I'm a history buff, and I feel that, you know, my generation and the generations to come is the next generation to start history.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, and for us to kind of keep all that in and not share those
stories,
not tell those stories,
mm-hmm.
that's that's history being, you know, locked up.
Yeah.
And for us to be able to move forward in a light of ensuring that, you know, the Gold Star family members are taken care of, that we don't forget about their loved ones, we have to tell that story. And what do? Is we help them tell their story. And that's where Woody's Foundation kind of comes in, is making sure that people in the communities and around the nation, one, know what a Gold Star family member is. Two, what that meaning, what does that really mean?
Mm-hmm.
And three, we show our honor and recognition for them.
And I think Woody said there was, 47 memorials or 48?
So, no, we currently have 60.
Okay, 60, but in 47 states, right?
45.
That's what it is. I'm getting my numbers confused.
Sometimes he gets a little excited and motivated.
No, I don't think it was. I think it's May. It's because it's May. I'm like, my number is math.
Yeah, so no, we currently have 60 monuments dedicated in 45 states. And then we have
none in a nation capital.
Yes, and that's what I was also here this weekend to do. I was on Capitol Hill a couple of days ago, politicking a little bit to see where we can to try another avenue to see what we can potentially do to get a Gold Star Families memorial monument here on the nation's capital.
Which, and a GWAT one, too.
Yes, yes, yes. And we had spoken about that. Yes, like, absolutely. I am on board for the GWAT memorial, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so 60 dedicated, 45 states, and we have another 68 in progress.
Okay.
So it is extremely a busy time for Woodiness Foundation, but we love it because the fact that those numbers have grown so quickly over the last couple of years, something's happening and something is going right because the awareness of the Gold Star families and who they are and how they need to be recognized is starting to come to life.
Yeah, good.
And that is where we feel that, you know, those family members come first. And by being able to, again, tell that story and tell that history, that we feel that something is happening, and we want to take that even further. You know, I'd love to have 1,000 monuments, you know, all over the nation. I mean,
well, it's like, you know, I think Woody and I were talking about it too. It's like when you go visit a family member that died, you go to the grave.
Right.
But with the Gold Star Memorials, it gives you a place for other people to gather.
Right.
And maybe you hear other stories.
Right.
It's that conversation. That's what we need.
Right.
Like real conversation, not like social media conversations.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right? Yeah, no, I mean, it's something for those family members to be able to come to and to be able to, you know, collectively honor their specific loved ones together with other Gold Star family members.
How do we get involved?
How do you want to get involved? you contact me is what you do. No, so the Herschel Woody Williams Medal of Honor Foundation, you can Google it as well as, or you can search for hwwmohf.org, and there's all kinds of ways to contact us on there. I would give you all the other contact information, but
share the message.
But yeah,
you know?
Basically just, you know, or you can search Woody Williams.
Yeah.
And it would basically link you right to where we're at.
And we're going to have links on the bottom of the podcast.
Okay,
well,
perfect. So, yeah, awesome. And then, yeah, I can give you my information. Contact me directly if you'd like. Yeah.
Alex, thank you, sir.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Brother. Appreciate it. Yeah,
thank
had
you.
A great time.
Me too.
Awesome.